Please turn with me to Mark chapter 3. Verses 7 through 19. Mark chapter 3, starting with verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him, to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Jesus went up on a mountain and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the names Boanerges, which means sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Please pray with me. Our God, we thank you for your word. Our God, we thank you for preserving it for us, giving us your truth. Now, Lord, we would ask that you would open our hearts, that we would know how to apply your truth, to know how you would have us change our lives and live differently, moment by moment, breath by breath. May we be yours, Father, and live as you would have us live, so that you will be glorified in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we see Christ having to put out a boat to sea because there were so many diseased people pushing in on him. The word there is actually pressing and afflicted. He was actually in danger because there were so many diseased people thrusting forward just to touch him. You see, these people knew that they had a need. Their sickness and their illness was obvious. Now, I've seen a situation similar to this recently on the television. I saw Barack Obama standing in a stadium, and people were pushing forward to see him, to hear him. And I've actually heard that security's having a real problem because people want to touch him. What are they looking for? And what is their perceived need? They say that the biggest thing people are concerned with in this election is the economy. They're looking for this man to save their economy and give them the money that they need to live the lives that they want to live. It's disturbing. When they ask people, "What are you interested in?" are they saying righteousness? We need a leader that will lead us in righteousness and in God's favor. No, our society is saying we need someone who will help our economy and give us the money we need. Now we look here at the Christ, and we look at other people who know their sickness and they know their need, and they think the answer is to be with Christ for their healing. But what is your need? What do you need from Jesus Christ? And are you pushing for it with the same zeal and the same enthusiasm? We see the world pushing forward for their almighty dollar and the one that'll give it to them. To see Him, to hear Him, to be close to Him, to touch Him. But your need is in your heart. Your need is to have your heart healed. Your own sin bears witness to it, how you fall short every day. And are you running after Christ to be with Him? Are you pushing forward to be with Him? Are you running to hear Him? Are you seeking His face and are you trying to touch Him? See, this is the cry this morning. Be with Christ. Be with Christ, your Savior, to be healed. So eagerly pursue Christ. These people pushed in on Him in great crowds. They hiked for miles and miles to be physically healed. They ran around Lake Galilee and beat His boat to be with Him, to be physically healed. But what about your spiritual need? What are you willing to do for Christ to heal you? What are you willing to do to be touched by Him? What are you willing to give up? I was talking to a man recently. His wife has passed away. And he has inherited land and rental properties. And he is well off. And he looked at me and he said, "Micah, I would give it all up for just 5 more minutes with my wife." I was struck by that, really. 5 minutes. All of it. For 5 minutes to be with his wife. The question for you is, what are you willing to give up to be with your Savior? Are you willing to give up 5 minutes and sit down with your Lord and your King? Read His Word and see what He has said. Would you be willing to give up an hour of sleep to be with Him? To hear what He has said? To see how He would draw you and how He would move you and how He would change you? Would you be willing to give that up? And out to be with Him. Would you be willing to give up an hour tonight to come and read His Word, study His Word with His people? See, we look at this man and he's willing to give up all of this for 5 minutes. What will you give up on the Lord's day? To be with your Savior. What will you give up to be with your Christ? Look with me at verse 9. Because of the crowd, He told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. Now, this is one of the elements of being with Christ, and it's tending to him and taking care of him. You see, but how do we do that in our midst? How do we take care of Christ in our midst? It's by ministering to one another. That is how we express love for Christ here and now in our lives. You see, neglecting the church, that is the people, neglecting the people is the same as neglecting Christ himself. He said that when he told the people that they would enter into his pleasure because they ministered to him. They gave him clothes when he needed. They gave him water when he was thirsty. They visited him in prison. And the people that were rejected, he said, "You rejected me. You did not care for me. You did not care for my needs." See, this really gets real when you start thinking about how it ministers to a parent when they see someone taking care of their children. You see, when I see you love my children, it is the same, or it is even better than when you are loving me. That's how you minister to Christ. You see, when Christ sees you loving one another and taking care of one another, you fill his heart with joy because you are loving his children. And I'll tell you, since I have been saved, I have never been filled with a greater anger than seeing my children neglected. When I see favoritism given to another child and mine put off to the side or ignored or mistreated. So we must be cautious not to neglect the people in our midst. We must be cautious to minister to them because they are God's children. Minister to Christ. This is part of being with him. You know, the church is the body of Christ. To be here is to be in the presence of Christ. And to minister to one another is to minister to Christ. So attend him by loving one another and caring for them. Now, this one another in Scripture, it's one word. It's allelun. It's reciprocal. It's something you do together. Something that's going on with me, with you, together, intertwined. Now, part of this application is allow people to care for you. When you look at Christ and he told his disciples, go get a boat ready. Did he have to do that? Or could Christ have said, let there be boat? And there would have been boat. Christ sent his disciples, go get some food. And Christ needed to send them to go get food. He absolutely did not. Christ sent his disciples to preach. Did he need to send them to preach? Or could have holy angels proclaimed? Christ has sent me to proclaim to you. Did he need to do that? He could have proclaimed it himself. You see, but Christ chooses to use people to minister to you. Christ chose to use people to minister to himself. You see, and the church is incomplete when we act like we are complete on our own. you have holes and you need them filled. And God has provided people to aid you. God has provided people to take care of you. And you must let them. Or you're standing in the way of God ministering through His church. This is part of being with Christ. Because you're letting Christ minister to you. You are receiving that blessing. And the people are blessed in return. Because people are blessed when they fulfill their ministry. And our ministry as the church is to care for one another. My daughter has, I can talk about her because she doesn't know I'm talking about her. She has illustrated this point beautifully. I have seen her storm into a place with her coat on. And I have seen someone come to her lovingly and kneel down and say, "Let me take off your coat." And my 2-year-old daughter's response has been, "I get it! I get it!" And she unzips it and rips it off herself. Yeah, she can get it. But what would the blessing be for the person who gets to minister to this person? Gets to minister to my child. Let people minister to you. And don't yell, "I get it. I'll get it." Because the love of Christ is fulfilled as we minister to one another. If you can be saved by grace, you can be saved by charity. You can live by grace and you can live by charity within the body of Christ. Make sure being with Him is your confidence. We see Christ, He called the apostles. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to Him those He wanted. And they came to Him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. We see the effect that being with Christ had on the apostles in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. This is referring to the religious leaders. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What effect should being with Jesus have on you? It should give you courage. It should make you strong. It should make you steadfast. Not because you believe in yourself, but because you believe in Christ, and you have been and you are with Him. When we went to the counseling workshop at the seminary, Rich Gantz asked what we wanted to get out of this workshop. So I raised my hand and I said, "I would like confidence." I thought it was a good answer. With Rich Gantz, I found out there are no good answers. He said, "Confidence? Who's confidence for?" And I thought, and I wanted to have a good answer. I said, "It would be for me to help the people He said, for you. He said, confidence would be for you. And he went through this whole rigmarole, tearing me apart back and forth, till I got down to the point where you don't need confidence in you, but you need faith. Faith as you go into situations that Christ is adequate. Christ is adequate to heal. Christ is adequate to save. The world tells you, believe in yourself. I know myself too well to believe in myself. But have confidence in Christ. See, being with Christ gives you courage, gives you confidence. Not that you can deliver yourself, not that you can rescue yourself, not that you have all the answers, but you're with the one who does. You're with the one who has delivered you, the one who will deliver you, the one who will comfort you, the one who will save you, the one who has healing for this fallen world. Make sure being with Him is your confidence. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, in regards to being with Christ, in regards to confidence. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raises us up with Christ and seated with us, with Him, in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In some sense, even now, you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Let this be your confidence. And let it be your joy. Make sure being with Him is your joy. Psalm 16:11. You have made known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You see, we should be filled with joy. And even though our happiness can be robbed for moments and for periods of time, our joy endures. Because we know who we have trusted in, and we know who we look forward to and what we look forward to. When I was a child, every year we would go on vacation to Myrtle Beach. We were not a rich family with a big car or a van. So there was the three of us jammed into the back of this car. And my dad would like to leave at strange hours with strange plans. And so we would be in there, and we'd be in there with blankets, and we would try to sleep, and you would get tangled, and it was a mess, and you had your brother and your sister, and they were touching you, and there were no lines that could keep them back. And although things would get unpleasant, and things would get nasty and uncomfortable, we were still on our way to the beach. We were still on our way. So there was the opportunity for joy. Even though your world gets uncomfortable, pleasant, downright nasty and ugly and miserable, you're still on your way to glory. You are with Christ. Do not let anything rob you of your joy. You're still on your way. You have this hope. You have this expectation. with Christ. You have been called to be with Him in order to proclaim Him. Look with me at verse 14. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach. See, we look at being with Christ and we look at all these elements. What are they for? What is your life in Christ for? What is your joy for? See, we are to be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within us. What is your joy for? Your joy is for proclaiming Christ. You are to have confidence. What is your confidence for? Your confidence is to speak boldly about the work of Christ. Because you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power to proclaim Him. What is loving one another for? Let your good deeds be done before men so that they will see them and believe in your Father in heaven. Believe that He has sent the Christ. What is caring for one another for? What is exposing your need for? It shows that we need Christ. We need fulfilled in Him. You see, all of this comes together for proclaiming your Lord and Savior. Why were the apostles with Him? So they could proclaim Him. You look and it says, He called them that He wanted. Did He call them because they were the most equipped and they were the most educated? Absolutely not. You look at your own weakness and you think, I can't. Well, who did Jesus call? He called the guys that smelled like fish. He called the tax collector. Those who were not equipped, and they were equipped how? By being with Him. So be with Christ. Sacrifice that precious time to be with Him. To be under His word preached, His word taught. Sacrifice that hour of sleep if you have to be with Him. Sacrifice that hour tonight to be with Him. Sacrifice your own goods, your own money, your own time to provide for His church with Him. Sacrifice your own pride. Expose your need. Be with Him. And use all of this to proclaim Him. To proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ who laid His life down for His church. For His glory. Be with Him and proclaim Him. Pray with me. Our great and powerful Lord, we rejoice in You. We rejoice in who You are and what You have done. We rejoice that You give us the opportunity that we don't have to give up all of our possessions to have 5 minutes with You. But we have only to stop to be with You. We have only to come to the assembly to be with You. We have only to open Your word to be with You. We have only to bow our minds and our hearts to to be with you. God, please help us to live as people that are with you. God, and help us to proclaim you as your children, and may you be glorified. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.